The following podcast was recorded just a few hours before Israel began its recent attack on Iran. So I want you to know that as you hear this, when I was recording it, I was not yet aware that that attack was about to happen. Also, it's become clear that the main topic here is that Iran could unleash sabotage terrorism across the USA. However, we've since learned that Trump says that he told Israel not to attack Iran. And even though Israel itself, its media, is saying that Trump played along with Israel and the USA actually coordinated this attack, Israel might be lying, or somebody else might be lying. And so far, Iran has not retaliated against U.S. assets in the region. So it is possible that this conflict, which Israel just took to a whole new level by bombing Iran, that this could possibly stay in the boundary of Iran versus Israel without involving U.S. assets, possibly. Although I think Trump will probably get swept into this. But that would only happen if Iran does not attack U.S. bases and if Iran does not unleash terrorism domestically. And that remains to be seen. So with that context in mind, here's my original report recorded a few hours before Israel launched its recent attack on Iran. Well, the situation is, of course, getting super dicey right now on multiple fronts. I'm going to focus on the, let's call them the terror cells from Iran that have already been pre-positioned in the United States, and what they are likely to do after Israel goes rogue and bombs Iran. So let's back up here for a second. Let me just set the tone here. I mean, I've called out Israel over and over again for its criminal genocide against the Palestinian people, even though, of course, that's triggered a bunch of Christian Zionists and so on. I don't care. In my mind, if you can't call out the fact that starving children to death is evil, if you can't say that, you have no moral foundation. That's just my opinion. So I want to be clear. I absolutely do not support what Israel is doing, and I do not want to see Israel bombing Iran. At the same time, it's clear to me that Iran does have some number of terrorist cells, or at least let's call them individuals who will be carrying out probably acts of sabotage. They are in the United States. They cross through the wide open borders that were left open by the Democrats. And if Israel bombs Iran, which now looks imminent, I have no doubt that these Iranian terror cells, or I keep saying cells, but it's individuals, at least that's my understanding, that they will go active across the USA attacking critical infrastructure. And of course, I'm opposed to that as well. And I want to be clear. Even though I oppose what Israel is doing, it does not mean that I support the Iranian regime either. I am opposed to even what the U.S. is doing in terms of its imperialism and occupation and violence and so on. I am anti-violence and anti-war. I am not a pacifist in the sense that I will use a firearm to defend myself, and I support law enforcement helping to keep order in these cities, etc. I support our veterans and our soldiers. I'm just saying, can't we find a way to not keep sending bombs to Israel, bombs and money, because you know that Israel is going to try to drag us into this war with Iran. You know it. It's exactly what Netanyahu is doing. And sadly, the upshot of that is that the American people are going to end up paying the price for the domestic terrorism carried out by Iranian operatives, okay? So that's the messy triangle of powers that leads us to this discussion. So I just wanted to provide that as context so you understand that I do not have, obviously, I do not have loyalty to Iran or Israel. My loyalty is to the United States of America and the Constitution in particular. And of course, my loyalty is to God, our creator, the universal Christ. But that said, here's what's likely to happen. An honest guess at the number of Iranian operatives, and they're not just from Iran, just to be clear. Some of them are from Iraq, some of them are from Syria, some are from Afghanistan, etc. So it's a regional effort, but very likely coordinated and funded by Iran, in the sense that, you know, Iran provides a lot of support, military support, financial support, we believe training support to, for example, the Yemeni military, which has been firing missiles at Israeli ships and also at Israel itself, even the main airport there near Tel Aviv. Yemen received a lot of training and material support from Iran. And the same thing is alleged for Hamas, although I know that Hamas was also funded by Israel, and Hamas elements of it were cutouts for the intelligence services, etc. So that gets really complex very quickly. But there's no doubt in my mind that Iran is capable and willing and able to fund a lot of different groups that would definitely consider the United States and Israel to be their mortal enemies. And there's no doubt in my mind, again, that some number of those operatives are in the United States right now, and they are simply awaiting orders. And my guess is that there are thousands of them. And that's important to note. I'm guessing it's somewhere over 1,000 and under 10,000. So we'll put it in that order of magnitude. I don't think it's 50,000, but I also don't think it's just 100. It's in my mind, it's probably thousands. And they will have access to weapon systems that have already been smuggled into the United States across the open border. And I've talked about this before. I've done interviews with intel sources, people with special operations experience on the border. You know, my Rolodex is pretty extensive of contacts in this area, and they have told me over the years that those weapon systems include anti-personnel landmines, RPGs, what else, full auto drop-in triggers, surface-to-air missiles, which my understanding is there are still somewhere maybe as many as 9 surface-to-air missiles, or SAMs, like sort of man-portable SAMs, like man-pad SAMs, right? I don't know if that's the proper military name for it, but like a guy in the back of a pickup truck can just park near the airport, you know, and just like throw the tarp open and just pop up and like fire away and take out a passenger jet that's on approach for landing. Like that kind of insane terrorism. My understanding is that 9 of those missiles exist in the United States right now, and that they're in the hands of the bad guys. So I don't know who's got them. I don't know where they are. I know that the State Department years ago was scrambling to try to find them, and I don't even know what happened with that. But I'm sure the FBI, I'm sure the State Department, I'm sure they're all scrambling overtime to try to stop all those weapon systems, as they should. So whatever Bongino and Patel are doing at the FBI, I hope it includes finding the actual terrorists who have the actual smuggled weapon systems like RPGs and, oh, I forgot to mention mortars, you know, artillery. So I think those are like 60-millimeter artillery rounds. And they are the kind of thing that can be used to take out refineries. You know, you don't need a very big mortar round to cause a fire at a refinery because everything there is flammable. So, and refineries are well within the range of something like a 60-millimeter mortar. I don't know what the range is. I don't know, it's like 10,000 meters or something. But it's enough range that these teams can run around and do this. So, all right, if you're an Iranian terrorist embedded in the United States, and then you get the order. And by the way, let me just back up and say, I have nothing against Iranian Americans. I want to be clear. I have nothing against immigrants from Iraq or Kuwait, from Iran, from anywhere. I am not a person who has an ethnic hatred toward anyone. And I am also not a person who teaches religious hatred towards those who practice Islam. I've interviewed those of Islamic faith in my studio. I've actually taught a couple of sermons out of the 104 sermons that I shared last year, mostly on the Bible. I think two of them focused on the Quran and some of the similarities. So I just want to be clear. I am not an ethnic hater of Persians or Iranians. Not at all. In fact, there's a lot in the history of human civilization, a lot of things where the invention or the deployment came out of Persia. You know, the cradle of civilization involves the history of Persia. So let's always keep that in mind. But at any given time, obviously, a particular government can have particular political affiliations, and also we are in a time of some kind of mass insanity of humanity, which is observed from Israel's actions, obviously. So here we are, okay? I just want to tell you, when I talk about like Iranian terrorists, I do not hate all people from Iran, not by any long shot, and certainly I do not hate Iranian Americans. And I denounce any effort to racially profile, you know, Middle Eastern looking people. And by the way, the average American doesn't know the difference between a follower of Islam and a Sikh. You know, they don't even know anything. So let's just stop hating people for the way they look. How about that? That would be something. We could start with that and maybe spread that idea globally. Would be awesome. Okay. With that said, sorry about all the disclaimers. I just don't want anybody to misunderstand me when I say what I'm going to say, which is that some radicalized Iranian terrorists will receive orders, almost certainly, and they will then access the weapons, and then they will begin to target civilian infrastructure or critical infrastructure. Now, what is critical infrastructure, and what would be the goals of this? I want to be clear. The way that these terror type of operations function is they're not going to war with the U.S. government. What they're doing is they're going to war with the infrastructure to place a burden on the U.S. government. And how do you do that? Well, you create masses, tens of millions of desperate people who don't have food, water, electricity, working roads, transportation, fuel, etc. And then that burden gets placed on the government, which forces the government to expend massive resources just to try to deal with its own people. And then that serves as a huge distraction from the government targeting your home country, or at least effectively targeting your home country. You know, everything about this, everything about a mass chaos campaign will be disruptive. It will even disrupt military recruitment, military training. You know, even if military bases can't get food, water, electricity on a reliable basis, that can have an indirect impact on military readiness. So the single most likely targets, in my conclusion, of these mass terrorists, it's going to be the power grid. The power grid is incredibly vulnerable. Obviously, the power generators that are on the grid, whether they're coal, solar, natural gas, what have you, even, you know, hydropower, etc., they all have single points of failure. All of them do. For every one of these generators, there's usually like one panel. It could be a large panel. It could be like a 30-foot wide panel, but there's one panel through which everything flows. And that panel has like a giant disconnect switch, you know, for safety, etc. But there's always a panel. Everything goes through the panel. If that panel is taken out, then that whole power generator obviously is, you know, offline, and then the grid suffers. And then you could start to have, at first, rolling blackouts and then extended grid down situations. But they may also be targeting transformers, because transformers are vulnerable to long-range rifle fire. We've seen this in the news. This happened a few years ago. I don't know, some Yahoo out there, I don't even recall the details, but they took a shot and hit a transformer. And I believe these transformers have to maintain this oil in them. I think it's part of the cooling process, is my guess. I don't know all the physics of it. But without this oil, they kind of self-destruct. Now, some of you are electricians. You know more than I do. That's cool. I'm just trying to give the sketch of this as best as I understand it. But with rifle fire, these people can shoot holes in the transformers. And Transformers really stand out. They're pretty easy to see with binoculars. The large, like cylindrical trash can looking devices, like a giant gray trash can. But on a larger power grid substation, the Transformers can, of course, be much, much larger. Well, they're very vulnerable to rifle fire, and they're very hard to replace. Replacing them would require placing orders with long wait times from China. You see the problem here, right? So since our infrastructure was constructed in what Matt Bracken calls a high-trust society, where we never thought, like, who would be dumb enough to run around and, you know, take out the power grid? Well, in an earlier time, that would have never happened. But now it's 2025, and, you know, Israel's probably bombing Iran, and we're probably going to be in a massive escalating war, maybe even involving Russia. There could be nuclear weapons, etc. I'm not even going to get into that today. But in this environment, yeah, there are plenty of enemies of America that would love to take out the power grid. And the thing is, there's not that much that stops them, especially if they're willing to risk their own lives in the process of doing so. And if you've got, say, 1,000 terror operatives, you know, radical extremists who are here, who are awaiting orders, and let's say that, I don't know, let's say that Iran, or whoever is controlling these, you know, these operatives, let's say that they send out 2 men for each target, okay? You know, just for redundancy, because, you know, one of them might get caught, who knows? So you send out 2 men for each target. What does that allow you to target? 500 power grid substations across America. Now, and then what's the success rate of taking them out? I don't know, let's just guess 50%. So then you're talking about the taking down of 250 power grid substations. Well, any one of those going down can cause a local outage. I won't quite call it regional, but it is local. But if you start taking out power grid substations that are in close proximity, then you start to, of course, have regional outages. Or if they hit a larger power station or a power generator, such as a natural gas plant that generates power and contributes to the grid. If you hit that, or if you blow up a large solar farm, I mean, all you have to blow up is the power panel, you know? You don't have to blow up the solar panels. You just have to blow up the power panel. If anybody does that, then we could be looking at regional outages. And then, obviously, in a regional outage, the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to have massive looting, you're going to have violence, you're going to have panic, chaos, anarchy. All the store shelves will be stripped bare. And then the radical left-wing Marxists, who are already trying to burn America down, they will take advantage of this situation and they'll say, hey, now's our opportunity, you know, burn the police station down, or whatever insane ideas they have. And that's when you're going to know you're in a civil war. When the lights are out, the local police department is on fire, and there's no cops to be found anywhere because they're overstretched. And some of them have just turned in their badges and they've gone home to protect their families because it's all hitting the fan. You know, that's going to happen. That's when you'll know it's real. Now, the good news is this isn't going to happen everywhere, obviously. These terrorists will have a much more difficult time in places like Texas, because of the, you know, the commitment to stopping such acts. And, you know, Texas has an attitude of FAFO, basically. Even the governor tweeted FAFO, you know, FAFO Texas style. In Texas, we serve FAFO barbecue ribs, you know. If you FA in Texas, you're going to FO pretty soon, probably thanks to some dude with a rifle, you know. So don't FA unless you want to FO. In Tex. But in places like California and Illinois and New York and whatever, Oregon, Washington, Colorado, New Mexico, all these libtard locations, people FA all day and they never FO. It's like FA without the FO. It's FO-less FA, and they just keep FAing, and which is effing around, and nobody stops them because all the police have been, you know, defunded or impaired. They've been given orders to not stop anything. That's what's happening in LA right now. So the bottom line is the worst hit areas are clearly going to be the Democrat-controlled areas. They can very quickly be rendered uninhabitable. And that's where you will get scenarios like Escape from LA, where you'll have massive, a flood of refugees trying to flee the city, and many of them not surviving that effort, by the way. So obviously don't be in those cities. I've said this 1,000 times. But even for those of us out in the countryside or in the suburbs or wherever you happen to be, you are going to experience a second order effect of this. Well, multiple second order effects. One will be supply chain disruptions, obviously, that can be quite severe. But secondly, you're going to get the migrant wave fleeing the cities if you're close enough. If you're within, typically, I'd say like one fuel tank full of gas, which on a typical vehicle might be 350 miles or something like that. So if you're within 350 miles of a major metropolitan area, you are within the flee zone, or the fleeing zone. The refugee wave fleeing the city can definitely reach you. And most of America, I mean, most of the population lives within 350 miles of a major metropolitan area by far, especially on, you know, the east or the northeastern portion of the country, high population density, and the West Coast. To get more than 350 miles away from high density centers, you have to be in only certain areas, you know, like up north or West Texas, or, you know, certain parts of Nevada or Idaho, Wyoming, etc. There's only certain areas where you can get that far away, maybe eastern Oregon, who knows. So that's really where you want to be when all this goes down. And then you want to be as self-reliant as possible. So all the things that we talk about, obviously, food, emergency medicine, emergency communications, firearms, you know, self-defense capabilities, etc. You want all this, and you need to make sure that right now you are testing your power resiliency. So this year, earlier this year, we had a power grid outage at my ranch, and it was a great opportunity. I got to test my generator. I have a diesel generator with a manual transfer switch. And so I switched off the grid. I switched over to the diesel generator and I ran it for several hours. Everything's good. Very happy about that. And I've got spare parts for the generator, fuel filters, you know, extra belts, oil filters for the engine, extra oil to put in the engine. You know, I've got like 50 gallon drums of diesel engine oil. Okay, that's how serious that I am about prepping. I mean, if it wasn't for those, I guess they're 55 gallon drums, there's no way I could store as much stuff as I do. I use drums for storing. I've got like hydraulic fluid for tractors stored in 55 gallon drums, as well as diesel oil. I've even got DEF fluid, you know, the emissions fluid, DEF. I've got that in a 55 gallon drum. And, you know, just in case we can't get it. Because I know the supply chain is going to get aggressively impaired and we're going to have a lot of trouble. And the crazier things get, you know, the worse that situation is going to become. So, bottom line here, obviously, get prepared. Obviously, you might want to download the books that I did on this a couple years ago if you haven't already. And I think the best one right now is resilientprepping.com. If you go to resilientprepping.com, you can download that entire book. It's a couple years old, but it's really relevant to what's happening right now because it focuses on how to cover all your basic needs, even when there's no electricity and also when there's no fuel. So remember, I called it like high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech prepping. And you need a solution for each of those conditions, you know, for water, for food, for comms, for self-defense, etc. What do you do with no technology, which means no fuel and no electricity? How do you survive that? Well, there are ways to do it. Not easy. It takes planning in advance. But you can find all that at resilientprepping.com. Also, just to plug what we're doing, we have a Father's Day sale event going on right now at our online store. go to healthrangerstore.com/fathers. healthrangerstore.com/fathers. We've got survival knives. We've got a new chef's knife that is, it doubles as, well, it's a multi-use tool, but it's great in the kitchen. We've got freeze-dried, certified organic, lab-tested, storable food, including fruits that are incredibly delicious. Check out the mangoes in particular. They're just amazing. It's like candy. It's the best candy in the world. And the shelf life on that is many, 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 many years. I'm not even allowed to tell you how many years because the FDA won't let us put that on the label. But I've got some of the stuff from 2010 that I have opened and eaten. I mean, the stuff, it lasts a long, freeze-dried stuff lasts a long, long time, okay? As long as you keep it sealed. But anyway, check all that out at healthrangerstore.com/fathers. And then finally, if you're looking for, you know, firearms, if you're looking for holsters and other kinds of defense gear, ballistic vests, things like that, I've connected with a number of affiliate partners for that kind of gear, because we don't sell that kind of stuff. But you can find that at rangerdeals.com. Just look for, I mean, just scroll down. It's only one page. rangerdeals.com. Those are all the deals we put together for you with discount codes. And some of them pay us an affiliate commission at no additional cost to you. And we indicate that with an icon beneath each listing. So be safe, get prepared, be ready for a multi-front war, including a domestic war, and be prepared for domestic terrorism to target the civilian infrastructure. Yeah, tough times coming. We can make it through. Just be prepared. Thanks for listening. Take care. All right, I've got something really gorgeous and rare to show you here. This is a brand new limited edition knife from Dawson Knives with our design here, Health Ranger approved. This is a chef's knife made with Magna Cut, which is, of course, not just incredibly sharp and rare, but corrosion resistant in a major way, almost like stainless steel. So these knives are available now, pre-order only, for a very limited run of just a few hundred of these. Because of the supply chain problem, because of the difficulty of getting Magna Cut, and the fact that the price of the Magna Cut steel that's in this, which is a revolutionary steel, that Magna Cut steel is going up 80% in the next batch. So right now, pre-order only, if you go to healthrangerstore.com, search for Hearthfire Chef's Knife. Hearthfire, all one word, Hearthfire. And you can see there, we've got it in black and we've got it in a green color, which is really more like a wood grain camo. There's the green color. I actually like the green better, but you know, whatever works for you. And you're never gonna see them this affordable, even though you're like, wow, that's what it costs? Yeah, these are made in America. This is Magna Cut steel. Everything is sourced and made in America. This is handcrafted by a third generation family known as the Dawson family. Show the side view there. I've got one on my desk. There it is, Dawson. And we've worked with Dawson for several years to do the tactical knives, to do the machetes, the hatchets, everything. And now for the first time, they've come out with this special chef's knife. This is a 6-inch blade from this point to the tip. It's a 6-inch blade. So it's very, very handy for, I mean, it's just extraordinary. Incredibly strong, resilient. You're not gonna break this knife easily unless you try to stomp on it or something, or wedge it in a brick and then try to stand on it. Yeah, you'll break it in that case, maybe. But not in normal kitchen use. You're not gonna shatter this knife. It's gonna last a lifetime. It's got a G10 handle here. That's, and of course, a full tang construction that you can see. I don't know, there, you can see the line all the way through. This is just an extraordinary knife that will last a lifetime. It's available during our Father's Day sale at healthrangerstore.com/fathers. So it's available right now during the Father's Day special, healthrangerstore.com/fathers. However, it takes 2 to 3 weeks to ship out, because these are being made per order on what you want, the style, you know, the color that you want. And Dawson has a very limited supply of Magna Cut material now.
And again, that comes down to supply chain issues and inflation issues and all kinds of difficulties happening now. So they can only make a few hundred. It'll take 2-3 weeks to ship them out. So if you're ordering it for your father, let's say, or a father in your life, is not going to arrive before Father's Day. But you can purchase it during the Father's Day special at healthrangerstore.com/fathers, plural. In any case, if you do get this for your father, he will appreciate it for for life, because it's such an incredibly high quality tool and instrument. You can't go wrong with any of the knives that we have from Dawson Knives. We've also got Escape from LA. We've got some other knives. Just go to healthrangerstore.com, search for knife, and you're going to see all kinds of products come up. Here you can see our Resonance Tactical Knife here. You can see our Escape from LA Tactical Knife. That's my special design right there. Consequences, that's our Covert Knife. You've got this Patriot Hatchet. You have the Outfitter Extreme Machete. And here's the new Hearthfire Chef Knife. An Arizona Copper Outfitter Extreme Machete, etc. Okay, so we have a lot of items to choose from. MagnaCut is going to go up almost double in price for the MagnaCut steel. So what that means is that the prices you see right now are the lowest prices that will ever happen for this kind of quality, you know, quality tools made with MagnaCut. So, and you're going to see price increases across the whole tools and knife industry, at least all those who use MagnaCut, which is the best steel for this kind of application right now. So check it out again, healthrangerstore.com/Father's Day, and you'll be thrilled with the quality of this knife. And thank you for supporting us. Shop with us anytime, any day at healthrangerstore.com, and we'll keep bringing you great solutions. So I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for supporting us. Take care.